Beautiful. Singing this morning, please take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be reading today from verse 1 down through just verse 4 once again. And we'll continue to enjoy this scripture. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and open your precious word. And it's so wonderful for us to just continue each day to grow closer to you and to understand, as we talked in the Sunday school class, and we've been talking about the Spirit of God and the work of the Spirit and how the Spirit comes and convicts the heart. And upon that convicting, we've got a choice to make, is say yes or say no. And we're going to be dealing with that today once again, as we always do. And we just hope and we pray that all that are here will say yes to the calling of the Spirit. Because, Father, it just to spend eternity in the lake of fire, Father, that should not, there should be no one there. And yet there are multitudes, millions upon millions of people that have rejected that call when the Spirit of God touched their heart. So please today that all will listen and listen very carefully and respond to your call. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This day of Pentecost is fully come, and we look at this feast. We talked about it, how that it was to commemorate the wheat harvest, but as time passed and they came back from the Babylonian captivity, then it became not so much the commemoration to the wheat harvest, but also to the to Mount Sinai, and when they received the law, and they acknowledge that, and to this day, the Jews still do that. They go to the law of Sinai, and the sad thing is that they have missed the first fruits that they were talking about, the preparing of the first wheat to make the first two loaves, and they would bring those two loaves unto the Lord, and instead of having life and being a part of the resurrection, they are still serving the law, and the law kills. And the law does not bring life. They cannot keep the law, and so the law condemns. And it's so sad that they are still at that place. The day of Pentecost has come. This is the birthday of the new dispensation, the new era, a new time. It is the time of grace. The dispensation of law, when it came into effect, they had many of the same signs and wonders. And we have the same thing here when the day of Pentecost was come with the wind and things of that. And so when they have similar signs, but understand that as the law, the dispensation of the law, those signs and wonders did not continue. They were at the introduction of the law, and it's the same here. At the introduction of the dispensation of grace, the time of grace, this day, the birthday of the church, it also came at that time, but it's not something that maintained. It did not continue. And so we need to see that. We look at Luke here as he was the eyewitness. And he watched this moment. It had to take his breath away because suddenly the church was born. And that's what we have here in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. They were all born again. Every of the 120 souls that were in that upper room were all saved. they all with one accord. And they suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And so this sound from heaven, the church was born. But before we look at that, we know that 2,000 years ago the church was born. And we're going to enjoy that study as we look through this book of Acts and the life of the church and how it grows and how folks get saved and everything. We're going to enjoy that. But first, we're going to look at the other end. We're going to look at as Eliezer came to get Rebekah and bring Rebekah back to Isaac, back to the bride, back to her husband. And instead of that, today, now we're going to look at the church and how the church is going to be gathered back and meet. So if you would take and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because in Revelation 22:20 it says, "Surely I will come quickly." And so we need to be prepared. And let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start reading with the 13th verse and read all the way down through the 18th verse today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you know, the church is born here in Acts chapter 1. But here is where the church leaves this earth and goes back to meet the Lord Jesus. And so the bride is being gathered today, but here will be when the gathering is complete. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We're to comfort one another with these words. I want you to see, as we look at this, and we spent the last 3 or 4 weeks gathering the church in the book of Genesis there with Eliezer coming to get Rebekah and all those things. And now, as we are about in these verses of Scripture, here we are returning as Rebekah sees Isaac in the middle of the field, and she lighted off her candle, her camel. She ran to the arms of Isaac. Here we will do the same. But look at verse 14. Now, it is a very sad statement, because in my lifetime, I have very few of my family is saved. Now, in verse 14, it says, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." You see, anyone that died before the Lord Jesus went to the cross and finished the work. They went to a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom, down in the center of the earth. But I believe that the day that Jesus rose from the dead, came out of that grave, that's the day that he went down into the place, the center of the earth, down into that place of paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and he took all those saints and took them home with him. Who else would be coming with him? Now, everyone today, if you believe that the Old Testament saints are still there, I don't believe they are, but if you do, this could be all those that have died since Jesus rose from the dead. Because from that time forward, when we face the grave as a believer, we go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus. Immediately. So if you died, or if you have folks that you love that have died, but there's something that they have to take care of first. It's not just that everyone dies goes into the arms of Jesus. It is only those that have come by faith to Jesus and trusted in Him. And I don't have much of my family that have done that. I have very few of my family members. You can go all the way back, as far as I can go back, and they were super religious, but they never come by faith to Jesus Christ. What a sad day. A sad day, because when I stand, if I'm still alive, and the Lord calls and we meet Him in the air, I'm not going to meet my dad. He's not going to be there. Because when he was asked, "Will you trust in Jesus as your Savior?" his statement was, "I belong to the church. I've been baptized. That's enough." That's not enough. That's not enough. He's going to burn the fires of hell because he has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his calling. And most of my family's in that same condition. Religious, but lost. I hope that your story is different. I hope that your family, when this call comes, and if you're still here, and you meet him in the air, I hope that your whole family is there. Because you see, they have to come with Jesus, because they're going to pick something up. It's called their glorified body. That grave is going to be opened up. And look at that verse of Scripture. "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." They're going to come because they're just in spirit now. Their soul is home with Jesus now. But there's going to be a day that we're going to spend eternity. We're going to have our glorified bodies. That old body's not going to have the aches and pains when you get up in the morning. I can tell I'm back to climbing the 100-foot towers now. I kind of got away from that until fall hits, and now I'm up and down all these bends. My back and my legs, they sure do tell that. But there's going to be a day that I can jump that high. I'm not going to have to climb it. You see that, Jim? You imagine that? Trying to that got you, didn't it? That was what a glorious day that's going to be. But isn't it so sad? Because see, they're coming because those graves will open, and I don't care how deteriorated or how many hundreds of years that body's been in that dirt in that grave. God's going to gather that back up, and they're going to have their glorified bodies, their perfect bodies. And what a wonderful day that'll be. And we too will follow them then, as the Scripture tells us. Let's continue here. And it wonderful verses. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." The Holy Spirit, as Eliezer did with Rebekah, the Holy Spirit will deliver us unto Jesus. And what a great day that's going to be. And then as Isaac took his bride home, so will our Lord. He'll take us home. And what a wonderful day that will be. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. But I hope that your family is different than mine. I hope that you'll have family members and so many that will be meeting you in the air, if you're still here. But it'll be a day of rejoicing, but it's a day of sadness when you see who's not going to be there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin's a law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Each time, and I read these each time at a funeral, and it is not always, because if the person is lost, I can't give that hope, because death is not swallowed up in victory. There's no hope there. How many times have you been to a funeral that the preacher has not made the statement that it is so good, they were so sick, and they're in a better place? Only if they were born again. Because if they were not born again, they're in the fires of hell, and there's no comparison to what they had here on earth to what they're going to spend eternity, because they rejected Jesus as their Savior. Don't ever give somebody the hope, because, you know, it's always surprised me the funerals that I have the opportunity to do with lost people, because a lot of the times it's the same people. It's the same farmers that come, and they listen to that same message. And that message is not a message of victory for that individual. It's a message of the gospel. But the Lord just keeps bringing me back and keep returning me back to that same group. And I've been able to preach the gospel three or four times to one certain group. And the Lord is doing that calling. The Spirit of God is calling them to come. And we just hope and pray that they do, because they're going to wake up in hell. And I'll be preaching another funeral with no hope. And that's a tough funeral to preach when there's no victory. But oh, that where is death's sting? It has no sting. If I have to go into the grave, fine. I don't care, because I know the second that I take my last breath, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. I'm not worried one bit about that grave or my body, because He's going to fix it. He's going to make it new. And what a day of rejoicing it'll be. So you see, the birth of the church is here in Acts chapter 2. But in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, we have a beautiful picture of what's going to come when the church goes home and leaves the earth. And when the church goes home and leaves the earth, that is going to be the most horrible time that's ever been on earth, because it will be with the absence of the church, the absence of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit once again will come upon people, but it will not indwell people during the seven-year tribulation. And it will be the most horrible time that you can imagine on this earth because of the absence of the church. Lost people receive a blessing because of the presence of the church today. This day of Pentecost was a birthday. Again, a new dispensation, the dispensation of grace. When the perfect law of liberty came, the sign and wonders ceased. We do not need signs and wonders today, because we have the complete Word of God. That which is perfect is come, the perfect law of liberty. We have the Word of God. We do not need to speak in tongues. We do not need to be able to go and touch someone and heal them. We don't need those signs and wonders. We don't have those signs and wonders. And when a church or a group of people promote those things, they are not of God. It is of the devil. That's who do those things, not of God. And you say, well, I saw a person healed. The devil has tremendous power, but that healing is not complete. That healing is very temporary, and it'll just confuse you when it comes. We need to understand that the just shall live by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get saved. We can depend upon the Word of God. We do not depend upon some faith healer or someone speaking in tongues to be filled with the Spirit of God. As we have said, you are filled with the Spirit of God the day you trust by faith in Jesus. Because the Spirit of God is a person. And you do not get a half of a person. So to pray that I be filled with the Spirit of God is contrary to the Word of God. The day of Pentecost is fully come. The 50th day after the resurrection has come. That's what that's saying in verse 1, has fully come. A sound here in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. He didn't say it was a rushing mighty wind, but it had that sound. It had that sound. It didn't come swoosh through like wind does through your house on a beautiful summer day. It was a sound like that. And so first we have the sound. It was an outward sign of the descent, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And He was coming to indwell the hearts of every believer. And He was here to form the body of Christ. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And they heard this sound. The sound came first, and then the visible came second, and that was the cloven tongues. And look at those words, because we're going to be dealing with this if the day is long enough. Like as of fire. We have two places, as of a rushing mighty wind and as of fire, like as of fire. It wasn't fire. It was like as of fire with the second one. The disciples heard this voice as a mighty rushing wind. The wind speaks and gives a symbol once again of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must always accompany the Word of God in order to save anyone. So when you go and you give out the Word of God and they reject it, it's because the Spirit of God is not able to be there on that person. Maybe they have rejected it sooner, but it's our responsibility to give out the Word of God, to tell people about the Lord Jesus. That's our responsibility. But if we give it, then it gives the opportunity of the Spirit of God to touch that heart. We give the Word of God, and that opens that door for the Spirit. Now, what that person does with the Spirit of God, with that calling, is up to that individual. Did God the Father or God the Son send my dad to hell? No, He didn't. They didn't. He went to hell because he rejected the Son of God. That's why. Nobody's fault but his. He was told many times when mom was sick with the stroke and would come, they would come and they would sit back there and he would listen time after time at a mission church in Fairfield, Iowa, and God worked it out that Dad rode up with us. He said, can I come to church with you today? And we were going to church in Keokuk at the time. And I said, yes, but I said, we're going to Fairfield this morning to help with the mission church. And I led the song service. And that morning when we got there, that pastor of the church, the mission pastor of the church, asked me a question on the way in. He'd said it many times. One of these days, Larry, I'm going to have to give you your testimony. He didn't even know Dad was with me. He met me at the door and he said, Larry, I wanted you to give your testimony this morning. I want you to give your testimony. And there sat Dad. And he heard that testimony, and he rejected the call of the Holy Spirit. What a terrible day. But you see, our purpose is, so since Dad rejected it, did I just give up and quit? No. We're here to give out that gospel. And I know that every family member I have that's in hell had a choice to make. And they chose the wrong way. They chose the wrong way. This sound. The Holy Spirit must accompany the Word of God if there's anyone to be saved. You give it out. The Spirit of God will do His work. You give it out. First the sound, then the visible evidence of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The cloven tongues, and that means parted tongues. And as we look at this scripture, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. The cloven tongues were separated one from another. There was one on each individual that was there. Not only the sound did they hear, but we have the evidence, the physical evidence, the sight. And these tongues sat upon each of the 120 in the upper room. Each individual was saved, and they received the Holy Spirit because they were born again. But also it is one. All of the group became one because the Spirit of God indwelt each one of them. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was not given in measure that day. Each individual received the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the day that you get saved, the day you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart. You don't get just part of the Holy Spirit. And then when you say, okay, I believe that that I'm going to serve Him, then you get a little bit more. No, each one of us get the Holy Spirit. He comes into our hearts and indwells us the day that we're born again. Complete, the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not given in measure. The cloven tongues. These cloven tongues, as it comes here, we'll find that gives them power to speak in diverse languages. They are there to declare the way of salvation. They're there to declare the day of grace. They're there to declare the way to be saved. That was the purpose. And when you hear someone say, well, I spoke in tongues. Well, who did you share the gospel with? Because that's the only purpose that the tongues were used at the day of Pentecost and in the birth of the church. It was so people could hear the plan of salvation and hear it in their known tongue. It wasn't some gibberish that they use today. You can work your, and you see anybody do that, you get as far away from them as you can. Because when they do that, the devil is present right there. Those demons is just coming out of them. Get away from them. There's nothing of the Word of God that speaks of that. The purpose was to speak the clear message of salvation to all that were present. We'll talk about that next week, who was there. The reason they needed different languages and different dialects, because it was the day of Pentecost, and they were there for all around the world. They were there, and there wasn't one individual there that day that could not hear their own language spoken clearly, telling them Jesus saves. That was the purpose of the day. It's very clear. Very clear. The scripture tells us in verse 3, like as of fire. Not real fire. This symbolizes the righteousness, the holiness, and judgment of Almighty God. Not real fire, but it was something that was visible. Visible. They were given a new tongue, a language they could speak. We have the command that's given in Matthew chapter 28, if you turn there with me. And I believe that we're going to end with this just because this next section is too important to hurry through. And so Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. They were given this command. The Lord Jesus spoke to them in verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is Matthew 28, 18. And then verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Whatsoever I have commanded you, they are now given the power to do that. They are given the power to take out the Word of God. They're given that power. And they have the opportunity upon proclaiming the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit each time goes on each one of them. And the purpose is to baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and then they continue to, as speaking the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes, and they are immersed in the Spirit. And then the next is that they would follow the Lord, and we find that in the all that are baptized following, accepting Jesus as their Savior. They now have the power to carry out this command. And to prepare you for next week, all four Gospels, Matthew 3:11, if you'd like to write this down, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. And I'll repeat those, Matthew 3:13, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. That is where we're told where John the Baptist speaks. He talks about, I baptize with water unto repentance, but the one that's coming is going to baptize by the Holy Ghost and by fire. You may be surprised what that fire stands for. It's not the cloven tongues that was sitting on them here. So, come back. We'll start there, reading those four Gospels. I don't know how long you folks would have to stay if we'd get through the whole message. It's wonderful to hear the Word of God. We've talked about the Spirit of God. We've talked about the birth of the church. We've talked about the coming of the Lord Jesus as He's going to come. Each time we're continuing to learn and to grow, and there's never a time when I'm reading the Word of God that the Lord shows me, continues to show me. And I hope that each time that you read the Word of God, I hope that each time you come into the house of God, that your ears are open and your eyes are open and you're listening and you're hearing and you're responding to the Lord Jesus. Because He's calling you. He's calling you for salvation, or He's calling you for service. He's calling you to follow whatever He has set before you. And if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. You have the power. You possess the power because He's in here. He never sends us anywhere where He doesn't give us all the necessary talents and power to perform it. We may not think we have them, but we do, because He is a true and righteous God. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come and just enjoy this time together. Speak to all the hearts as we sing this closing hymn, this hymn of invitation, an opportunity for folks to respond to you, to come. And so please, dear Lord, just speak to hearts today. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.